I'm Tom Gallatin. I'm Vice President of Marketing and Sales at Gigamon Systems.
Good morning. I'm Danny Mew. I'm one of the co-founder and also the CEO of Gigamon Systems.
Okay. Now tell me a little bit about Gigamon Systems. There's a lot of boxes here at this show, a lot of VoIP solutions. Tell me a little bit about the Gigamon story.
Well, you want to tell the story about yet another graphic?
That's a good question, yeah. There is, in fact, a proliferation of tools out there that do out-of-band monitoring. There's a lot of reasons why people have to deploy tools to monitor their networks for performance, for security, for compliance, for forensics recording, and for, in this case, we're talking at a voice over IP show, for voice quality monitoring, for SLA conformance. And so in general, there are a proliferation now of tools since the 9/11 and Sarbanes-Oxley rules have come into play. Customers have IT, financial, any publicly held company now has to put compliance monitoring tools, where a few years ago, all they really had to support were maybe a sniffer and an Armon probe. And so a span port was sufficient to get the data, and everything was fine. But then came security requirements with IDSs, application monitoring tools, specialized purpose tools came into play, and then the compliance monitoring tools, voice over IP monitoring tools and analysis tools. There's just a huge increase in the quantity and diversity of tools, and each and every one has the same answer to the question of how do I plug it in? Plug it into your span port. But there are no more new span ports available. So now the IT managers have realized they've got too many tools, not enough span ports. And so this has been an opportunity for us to come in and resolve that particular problem because we can multicast the data from a single span port and allow it to be shared amongst many different tools.
And so what we have here at the show is, I think, the end result of a lot of hard work on a couple of people's parts. Denny, maybe you can tell me a little bit about how you began on this.
The company is very, very unusual. This is not my first startup, but it is my first startup in terms of just getting together and bootstrapping it and get it to the point where essentially the growth is now funded by customers. Tom and I are basically the employee number one, number two, if you will, but there are actually six of us. There are six co-founders, and all five of my colleagues came from a single industry, which is the network monitoring. And Tom and I first got together about 2.5 years ago. We actually met through a mutual customer. I wanted to do another one. I had some successes in selling a cross connect into the test automation, and I got addicted to selling tools. I mean, selling tools is a very, very interesting industry, very interesting opportunity. So I got addicted to doing that, and I went to one of my customers and said, well, I need somebody who really understands the market. I need somebody who has the Rolodex, but more importantly, what I really need is a surrogate customer, somebody who didn't have to read from a book of what the product should be, but actually live that life of my customer. So he introduced me to Tom, and we hit it off right away. It was very clear that was the thing we wanted to do. We discussed about the name of the company. I won.
Well,
of
there was some discussion about the name. Yes, but we settled on that because Denny went out to the DMV and got himself a personalized license plate with Gigamon on it. And I said at that point, I don't have a chance. There's no more arguing.
So tell me, what was missing, though, that you saw from the industry at the time? I mean, sure, this industry, it's been rolling along. VoIP's been around for a while, but it seems like, it's really kind of skyrocketed lately.
It's really taken over, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What was missing when you first came on board with Denny?
Well, broadly in the IT space, enterprise networking and that, tool vendors had developed solutions, as I said earlier. They would say, we have a wonderful tool, the customer loved it, it looked beautiful, it solved a problem, but they had no place to plug it in. And it wasn't really the motivation of the tool vendor to solve that problem, because they were all about their own technology. Now, I had a number of years, a lot of scars on my back, and a lot of issues from customers who said, we like your product, we think you have a great analyzer, but we don't want to deploy 50 of them. We want to keep it small. Can you aggregate? We had no way of doing that. So there was a hole in the market.
I think what was missing is one of the analogies that Tom likes to use that really resonate with the customer, which is what we call a data socket. I think what you have to imagine is that back in the days when electric appliance first was introduced to families, to households, you would have a salesman that knock on the door and brings in this vacuum cleaner and try to convince the consumer that this is the best vacuum cleaner that exists. And what he doesn't realize is that the same consumer has a toaster and a refrigerator and everything, and there's only one place to plug in that appliance. So I think what was missing is one of the best analogies that I ever heard from that we use, that Tom has initiated, which is we call ourselves the data socket. Right? What we're doing is we're providing that virtualization layer between the network and the monitoring world that says that you don't have to, if you want to sell me a vacuum cleaner, you don't have to worry about how to run the wire from my door out of the light post to the generators and so forth, which is what people had to do up until now. That when you sell them a monitoring tool, whether it's a protocol analyzer or Sarbanes-Oxley transactional monitors, you actually have to worry about how to get the data and how to share the data. We took that away. We took that what people like to call the, every time you take a pain and you turn it into something that is just a simple task, there's value, and that's what we did.
I think largely one of the most important benefits we offer is that we can allow a customer to plug his tool in to the data socket. We call our product the data socket, but do it unobtrusive to the network. And I think the key point Denny was saying is that up until this solution occurred, they would have to go back to their configuration management department. They would have to get permission to reconfigure a span port. That could take days, if not weeks, before they were allowed to plug a tool in. Now, if they had a server down or a network segment impaired, they couldn't troubleshoot until they got permission to modify a span port. That's really bad. And so we've made it possible for them to plug the tools in 24/7, daytime instead of waiting for a midnight window for maintenance, and conveniently return their life back to them, really.
Yeah. And what are they plugging into? I mean, we've got this nice orange box here. Tell us what it is and what it's called.
It's called the GigaView. And the GigaView is a data access switch. It allows us to receive data on network side ports from spans or taps, and then we do a connectivity circuit across our fabric, across the GigaView, to a set of tool ports. And the tool ports, of course, would be connected to the voice monitoring system, the sniffers, the recorders, the IDSs. And then we would create circuit paths from the network side to the tool side. These circuit paths would be under the control of the customer. He would dictate how the traffic would flow, whether it would be aggregated, multicasted, and then, of course, filtered, since we were doing hardware-based filtering as well. And we can customize the view to each one of the tools. So this gives the customer complete control over the flow of data and never have to go back and touch the network itself again. So it's completely out of band. Out of band meaning that it's external to the production network and unobtrusive to the production network.
One of the best ways to visualize the utility of a product is if you were to think about a box as a virtualized patch panel, where you basically connect all your data points. This is where you get all the data from the network, whether it's from a span port, like Tom explained, which some vendor call a mirroring port, which really creates a replica of the production traffic, or that you would use a tap that basically takes a copy of the production traffic. So we take all these replica traffic and you put it into the left-hand side of the box, and then you take all the tools and you put it on the right-hand side of the box. And then from there on, you can think of it as a virtualized patch panel. Except that in this case, you can basically make as many connections as you want. You can make a single end-to-end connections. One of the analogies that Tom likes to use is called virtual crash cart. It's really true that until we came along, the only way that you can quickly deploy a tool is to put it on the crash cart and figure out where you need it, and you run the heck down to the aisle and plug it in. Well, with this virtualized patch panel, you don't need to do that. It's just done with one mouse click, right? The other thing that we do is that we go much beyond that. Is that we do what is called one-to-many, where essentially you can go from one input port to multiple output port, right? One of the best analogies that we use with the customer that really resonate is that we're here to stop the fist fight. We're here to literally stop the fist fight between the IT department and the security department and the compliance teams, because until we came along, they were fighting. they were fighting. Each one was trying to figure out who is the VP that has all the authority, because the IT guy says, look, but the network is down, I got to put my sniffer. The security guy said, no, you're not, because I need to provide security. The compliance guy is actually so usually at the top of the totem pole, because he said, look, my job is to keep the CEO out of jail. Okay, guys, back off. Right. So by having this one-to-many feature that we can basically replicate the traffic for the multiple tools, we literally stop the fistfight. The other thing that we do is we do the reverse, right? And you really have to visualize this as a virtualized patch panel, right? Where you basically take as many input points as you want and aggregate it into a single point. Now, this is very important. This is very important because we only sell to the very top end of customers. I'm talking about the global 1,000. I'm talking about the government agencies. I'm talking about the telecom and so forth. And these guys have built redundant, fully meshed network, which means that in order for them to provide the robustness for the production network, they have multiple paths for the net, for the packet to travel. So if you launch a let's say you're on a website on a client and you launch a request for packets, you don't actually know where it comes from. You just know that it arrived because the network is so robust that there's multiple paths for those packets to travel. The problem comes when you do monitoring, when you can run it. How do you get all the packets, right? How do you plug a tool now? Do you plug it in every single point? You can't. Mm-hmm. It's too expensive. So this function allows you to aggregate from their entire network into a single point. This has proven to be extraordinarily important for the customer. On top of that, like Tom said, is that we throw in what we call the filtering. The filtering really made this product.
Yeah, this is hardware-based pattern match filtering. It's based on the 80-byte header. So any of the attributes that you find in the 80-byte header, the MAC, the IP, the VLAN, priority bits, type of service, any of that can be made into a filter. And effectively, we block the bulk traffic, the junk that no tool ever wants to see, so we can reduce that fire hose of data that comes blasting at them from the network and cut that back down to more of a garden hose flow so that the tool can handle it. We also can customize the view to each tool, so we can divide the traffic according to those attributes so that it can be shared across many tools. So if you do have an excess of a gigabit of traffic, you can deploy multiple tools, and each one takes a percentage of a gig and slice the traffic logically. So our filtering scheme is probably the secret sauce. Nothing is ultimately more important than that in our box.